want to speak about three words today. Three famous words that Chazal mentioned in the context of a mitzvah that appears in Parshas Re'eh. Those are the words Droish v'Kabel Schar. The Gemara Masechet Sanhedrin comments that there are several parshas in the Torah, L'hoi v'lo yiyu, that they never happen, they never will happen, for pure techno halachic reasons. It's inconceivable that these parshas should actually play out l'maisa. And one of them appears in this week's parsha, Parshas Re'eh. Those are the dinim of Ir HaNidachas, that city that most of the members of the city worship of the Zorah. The Gemara says, L'hoi v'lo yiyu, it's never going to happen. Why l'hoi v'lo yiyu? Why is it never going to happen? The Gemara says a technical reason, because you only burn the Ir HaNidachas, and you can burn the entire Ir HaNidachas. If there's anything in the Ir HaNidachas that will that cannot be burnt, so then the entire Ir HaNidachas can't be chal on Hashem Ir HaNidachas. If you have one mezuzah in the entire city, and there's a nisa deraisa of burning the Shem Hashem, and Allah will destroy a parish of mezuzah, so if you have one mezuzah left in the whole city, that's going to save the entire Ir HaNidachas. The Gemara says, it's not shaykh, it's inconceivable, you should have a whole city, even a city that's over there, but it's that somebody shouldn't have a mezuzah there. Fine, so Ir HaNidachas is never going to happen. Then the Gemara says that Ben Sarah Meir is never going to happen. The Gemara says also, for technical halachic reasons, Ben Sarah Meir is not shaykh to happen. Then the Gemara says, a bayis hamenuga, a house that has tzaras on, also never going to happen. These are the three parashas, l'hoi v'lo yiyu. So the Gemara says, Abba Zoyim, l'hoi v'lo yiyu, salama nichtavu. So why were they written? D'raish v'kapos chan. We should darsh in these parashas, learn these parashas, and therefore we'll be rewarded. So it's a very posh the kasha. It's not my kasha. Everybody has the kasha. D'raish v'kapos chan makes it sound like there's somehow something lacking in the Torah. It makes it sound like we don't have enough things to darsh in. Imagine for a second, just plan in your mind, imagine if there would be no parsha of Ir HaNidachas. No parsha by Sanuga. And no parsha of Ben Sarah Murrah. We have nothing to learn. In Hukha Shabbos we finished already. And in Chusech HaSizvachim we're all done with it. Uktsum Yad down path. Everything else we finished. Dal Chet V'Shechon Aruch we're Bekiyim in. Every Shach and Pimugadim we know already. And Nebuch, the world would be missing if we, tremendous thing, if we wouldn't have these parshas. I'm totally planning to go and read Dresh from Kabbalah Shechon. Lo Chaseh HaRat to be Darish. There are other areas to be Darish. We've got plenty of lifetimes of Torah to learn. Why do you need these parashas to teach us Dresh for Kabbalah Shechon? What are we being Darish with these parashas? What great tzchar are we gaining? So if I'm not mistaken, I think it said over in the name of the Chofetz Chaim that what Chazal meant to highlight is a certain dimension of Limud HaTorah that sometimes people don't appreciate, people don't understand. There is a common misconception in learning, we shouldn't feel bad that we're the only ones who have this misconception, it's been around for thousands of years, that Limud HaTorah is basically a means to an end. After all, we all want to be Shomer Torah mitzvahs, so we have to learn. We all know, if you don't learn Hukha Shabbos, you're not going to know to keep Shabbos, you don't learn Kashrus, you're not going to count, you're going to Brachas, Tfilin. We all know, we all understand that dimension of Talmud Torah as leading Gadol Talmud Shemegel De Maisa. And we shouldn't minimize that part, that's very important. There is a very critical component of Limud HaTorah that is Megel De Maisa. But that's not the whole picture. That's one part of Talmud Torah. There's a second part of Talmud Torah, which is Talmud Torah as an end in and of itself. Not because it's going to lead to anything, not because it's going to teach you how to be a better Jew, not because it's going to teach you how to keep mitzvah. No, Talmud Torah, it's there. What do they say? Why did you climb the mountain? I know it's a tough thing to say until you learn today. Why did you climb the mountain? Because it's there. Why you learn Torah? Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu's Torah. That's it. That's it. No, there's no agenda. There's no ands, ifs, and buts. I'm going to learn Torah, therefore I'm going to get my credit, and I'll be able to chaper rein smicha, I'll be able to get this job, and that job, and the other job, and I'll be able to pass kashayas, I'll be able to answer emails, and all the shadows, those are all sideshows. They may be true, and maybe some value of all those things, that may be true, but that's not the fundamental part of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. The fundamental part of the Talmud Torah is, because the state, Elamadta Mesam, because the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, Elamam Tiyotar Shavficha, V'dibarach Tabach, because the Kodesh Baruch Hu's Torah, Talmud Torah, Kenei Kulam. Talmud Torah is an end, it's the ultimate end, ultimate goal in and of itself. If all the parashas of Torah would have been Lamaisa, if all of Talmud Torah would have been Shabbos, Kashrus, Tavs, Mishpacha, Brachas, Tefillin, etc., so one would have walked away with the mistaken notion that that's all there is right anymore. That is the whole essence of Talmud Torah. So Kodesh Baruch Hu put a few parashas, scattering of parashas here and there, into the Torah to show you that you have to learn these parashas even though they're not relevant, and they'll never be relevant, and you're never going to have to pass a shayla. I can guarantee you, I have never passed an Ir HaNidachas shayla, ever, ever, ever. There was a famous joke when I was learning in Keren B'Yavne about someone was making fun of certain people who were very machmer. So they had a Purim spiel. So they had somebody come and present Shalach Manas as part of the spiel. They bring Shalach Manas to this Rav, And the Rav says, looks at it for a second, the apples, the oranges, is not, the shayla shall, or the tevel shpe shvias, you wouldn't take the fruit. So the guy comes, the poor bachar is all embarrassed, he comes back, finally, playing with something else, he brings him a piece of meat, and says, no, the shayla shchit, it's right, it's chayla, no, you can't. Comes back the next time with something else, says, bishalako, pasakum, every time he brings something else, everything is. So the bachar is trying to figure out what to do. So he comes with two rocks, and he brings it, he presents it to the Rav, he's all excited. Well, what could the Rav possibly pask it on this? He's afraid that maybe it's from Yoni Dachas. So that was the closest I ever came to pasking Yoni Dachas Shaila. So Kol Ponim, there's a famous Shaila from the Prima Gadol, talks about Nachal Esav, also a similar, one of those once-in-a-million Shailas. There's a din that when you bring an Egla Rufa, so that whole area that you do that Rufa, the Egla becomes also the Nol Yom Boy. So if you're going to be, you're not allowed to be a shell of the Bavlo Yisrael, not allowed to plant in Nachal Esav. So if you're going to raise a shell, how could you plant anywhere in Eretz Yisrael? Every place is a Sufik Nachal Esav. Aye, but most places in Eretz Yisrael, they probably didn't bring it in Egla Rufa in the year at one time. So he says, but it's called Kavua Kamech Tamech Tadavi. So he has a whole lumb of Shishayah as to why you're allowed to ever plant anything in Eretz Yisrael. Strange child. Anyways, that was a... Anyway, but we don't have most of those shayahs. Most of the time, we're not going to pass in the Nachal Esav, Nachal Rufa, or in the Dachas Shayahs. So why did Rebbeinu Shlomo put us into the Torah? To teach us that all of Torah has that dimension of learning because it's Chachmas Hashem, not for any hidden agenda. There's no hidden agenda learning the sittings of Eretz Yisrael, because you're never going to have to pass in a Shayah like that. Afa Pichay, Torah Olam Nanitzach. This idea that Chazal tell us the Roish v'Kapos Chai, and this is Megala to us, but what the nature of Talmud Torah is, and it's not just to maybe the Maisa. So I think that perhaps Chazal and Medayik in the Losh of the Roish, what the word the Roish means. The Roish v'Kapos Chai, Chazal didn't say Lamod, Lamod v'Kapos Chai, he said the Roish v'Kapos Chai. What does the Roish v'Kapos Chai mean? What is the notion of the Drosha? So when Doresh really comes from the word, When you're missing something, when you lost something, so you derish it, adresh achicha yisrael, ashivay salo. Derish has the connotation that I'm looking around for something, I feel a need, I feel I lost my animal, nebuch, I feel I'm missing, I can't survive without my animal, so I start looking around, adresh achicha yisrael. That's the way a person has to approach the Talmud Torah. The person approaches Talmud Torah as, yeah, it's a nice thing, you know, it's a nice feather in my cap, I'll put it on my resume that I learned on some in NCS Makolel, and I learned a couple of months here and there, and I learned a few more mesechtas and a couple more dafim and whatever it is. So, no, that's not the Talmud Torah. I mean, that's nice, that's cute, that's wonderful, I shouldn't minimize any of the Talmud Torah, but if you want to know the type of Talmud Torah that Hashem is expecting of us, is that Dereish Achich Haso, Dereish V'Kap Eschar, that you have to be Derish, and just as a din, when you interrogate Edim, there are drishas and there are hakiras, and you got to ask one question, another question, and you got to go deeper in amkus, and you have to try to figure out what's really going on here. That has to be the way we approach Talmud Torah. Sometimes, you know, we live in a world that's they're not so into drushas, not so into working on things. The notion of a molashal Torah is something that is disappearing very, very quickly in front of our very eyes. And even within the Lomdei Torah, even within us, in the Baruch Hashem, in the world of people who are sitting and learning Torah, so we have an avodah that we have to work a little bit more on the being doresh, a little bit more on the working, a little bit more on the sweating, because we've grown up in a society that everything is at our fingertips. So we don't work for anything. We press a button, everything comes in front of us on the screen. The idea of sitting and hovering and working on something is something which is very foreign to us. But that's kachi darpa shel Torah. That's shetiu amelim b'Torah. Chazal don't speak about learning Torah. They speak about amelim shel Torah. They speak about being doresh b'Torah. Working hard and working hard and working hard. And the more that a person works hard, that's the only way that a person ultimately is going to be kainat Torah. So doresh v'kapos chai doesn't just mean lamod v'kapos chai. Doresh v'kapos chai means that a person has to be doresh. You have to feel it, that there's something missing, there's something lacking. You have to work hard in order to find it. You got to go to the ends of the earth in order to find what's missing. So that's one dimension of Yir Nidachas that speaks to each and every one of us. But there's another dimension of Yir Nidachas that speaks to, hopefully, should speak to each and every one of us, or at least had what we're supposed to avoid. If Chazal tell us Doresh v'Kapos Chai, so not only does it teach us about our approach to Libra Torah, but there's something within the parasha of Yir Nidachas that's important for each and every person. Even if you're never going to see a Yir Nidachas in your lifetime, you're never going to see a Ben Sarah, you're never going to see a Bais Menuga, but there's something about these parashios that does, in fact, speak to each and every one of us. What is it about these parashios? So there is a common denominator between these three parashios, between the Ben Sarah Moira, between the Yir Nidachas, and between the Bais Menuga. The common denominator was fairly obvious that they all entail tremendous destruction. You take a whole city in Eretz Yisrael and raise it to the ground. It's a terrible act of destruction. You take a house, a beautiful house, that a Neged Tzaras on it, and you smash it to smithereens, but not a Sabayis. Terrible act of destruction. And you take Nebuchadnezzar, a child, a young man, the Ben Tzer Remora, and he's put to death. Skila. Person's watching these things, he's literally watching these things, and learning the parashas, he's got to stop and ask himself, what happened? What was so terrible that brought about such tremendous hashchasa, such tremendous kilkel? And the common denominator to all three is really very simple. It all started fairly innocently. It all started very, very small. And just as we find in the physical world, in the realm of machlos, the realm of certain diseases, so the beginnings are microscopic. Nothing's a little mashu, but the problem is a little mashu can grow until it brings little things the house down. And that's the phenomenon that takes place in each one of these tremendous acts of hashchasa. The Yerni Dachas starts out with one guy. There's one Meisis of Mediach. There's one guy. You have two guys. Yatzu Anoshim Bnei B'liyam Kibecha. Two guys can bring down an entire city. Two guys can spread the evil, can spread the bad word of Avodah Zarah. And before you know it, the entire city is destroyed. Hakol Mikokol. It starts very small. Chait begins very, very small. Because I'll tell us, Kachi Daiko Sheyetzer, Hom L'chol Adam. Today do a little something, and then tomorrow a little something else. And before we know it, we're drowning in Chait. It starts with two people. Two people can bring down an entire city. What did the Ben Tzer Remora do? What did he do? He ate tachmash al-basar, and he drank a little bit of wine and shun, and he becomes chayav nisa. It's a famous Gemara in Masechta Sanhedrin, and it's nidon al-shem soifai. His chayt is not really a chayt. There's nothing wrong with eating a little bit of meat. There's nothing wrong with having a little bit of wine in moderation. But what happens? He goes overboard. And he creates a phenomena of an addiction. So Ramesha finds him in the tshuva. He asks Ramesha, what's the mokar? You're not allowed to take drugs. I didn't know. You're not allowed to take drugs. We're the same with Chumash. So Ramesha says, it says it, L'seich l'aladam. That's the ashara for Ben Tzera Meir. You're not allowed to become a Ben Tzera. What's a Ben Tzera Meir? He's addicted. He takes a little bit of meat, a little bit of wine, and then he can't find it. He can't meet his addiction. What does he do? He goes and he steals from his parents. And tomorrow when he stops stealing from his parents, he's going to go steal from outsiders. And the next day when he can't steal anymore, then he's going to start to kill in order to get people to give up. He's going to become so meshuvah to his addictions. Yomuzakhna yomuzchayev. Says Ramosha, the Isser of Etzei Ramayra is an Isser to becoming addicted to something. Addictions start very, very small. There are a lot of addictions out there. We live in a world that's addicted. There are addictions, the old style addictions of drugs. Hashem, we don't have to talk about that here. The addictions of alcohol, something that we do have to sometimes talk about, that I'll tell you the truth, maybe guys think from the old school, the old fogey, I don't know what it is, but I don't understand. For the life of me, I cannot comprehend how a Ben Torah goes to a chasana and is standing by the bar and drinking, unless he's getting a Coke or a cranberry juice. I said, short of that, I don't understand. I said, what the kiyum is exactly. Like, I don't understand what the Havamish of Havamish is to go to a bar and take something to drink. Even a chaslan. I don't understand. A person wants to drink a little bit of Kiddush wine on Shabbos. Okay, if you're over 21. And there it's still 18. Okay. I don't know what the din. The Mishnah says in Shabbos. The Mishnah says in Shabbos. It's not a flat drink. I always had that child in it, so I'm not sure. But whatever it is. Over 21. The holiday is. It's okay. You might have a little bit of wine. I was at a Shabbos meal. This past Shabbos. And about most of the Kiddush and wine, so I passed that wine to everybody. So I said, my kids don't drink wine. So he said, what? And he said, not even Kiddush? I said, not even a teapot, not a drop, not a garnish. He said, you have grape juice? I said, not a drop. Mashahu. He said, kids don't have to have wine. There's no mitzvah for kids to have wine. There's no great kiyum for kids to have wine. We get to kesha bracha with grape juice also. I said, you have to train your kids from the beginning, from young, that wine and liquor and apples are off limits. I said, you go to Shalom Zochas and you see guys sitting around drinking beer like they're at a baseball game. Sitting drinking beer out of bottles at a Shalom Zochas. What the fuck is that? I said, that's part of the Torah experience. I said, what the Shabbos is that? So I remember when I was there when Mary Apple was born, so we were born on a Thursday night. So Thursday morning. So Friday afternoon, so the father of Hashem said to me, you know, we're getting ready for Hashem Zachar. So the father said, do you have any beer in the house? I said, yeah. He said, I don't drink beer. He said, no. A beer to show me. Yeah, a little something, a little mashu, something good. I said, never. He said, nah, come on, you know, a little beer. So I said, okay, fine. So I went with my father to go buy five bottles of beer or something, five bottles of beer in the morning. So we put them out of the Shabbat Zachar. Baruch Hashem, all the people came, opened their Torah, and didn't open them. Not one bottle of beer was open. So we took all the bottles of beer and put them back in the closet somewhere, and they sat and they sat and they sat until Erev Pesach. So Erev Pesach, the same bottles of beer were there. So I try not to sell Chametz Gomer, as a shadow of the beer, but Chametz Gomer, so I didn't want to sell these bottles of beer, so I was going to throw them into the garbage. So one of the chevre in the building, we lived in the Heights at the time, said to me, all right, I'll take the bottles of beer. We sell Chametz Gomer. Good, we mach show you. You can have the bottles of beer. So good. So I gave him the bottles of beer, and then I noticed that the next week after Pesach, there was a Shalom Zachar, and they were my bottles of beer. I mean, they weren't really mine, they were the goods, but they made their rounds. So the same, that was the meaning of the Heights. They passed around the same bottles of beer. Because I remember when my daughter was born, so we had a kiddush in the building. So we bought up a little bottle of schnapps. A little mashu, looks like a bottle of schnapps. But I was not with Dafkin about Kosher Pesach, some chocolate liqueur or something, so they didn't have a problem. So he had this chocolate liqueur, OUP, sitting in the closet. I said, it wasn't opened. I said, for about 4 or 5 years till we moved to New Jersey, I said, it wasn't opened. Mom wasn't even open. He took it and threw it out into the garbage. I said, that's not what the mahalach should be towards drinking. That should be the mahalach to drinking. The drinking doesn't, some people like it, a little something after a piece of fish, a little something like that. Whatever it is. But Hashem Yechaper. But we should take the attitude that this is a beginnings of Etzer Ma'ira. We had a bris in our shul a couple of weeks ago for the summer. So we have a policy in our shul, so no alcohol shul, alcohol-free shul. So we had a bris, and people were making the bris. They didn't know that. They weren't regular members of the shul, so they didn't know that. So they brought in, after davening, you know, setting up the bris, so they brought in a couple of bottles of schnapps. So very nicely went over, so I said, I'm so sorry, we can't serve it. So somebody overheard, didn't realize I was the rabbi of the shul. So somebody, one of the guests, overheard, and they went ballistic. What is this guy crazy? He said, there's no alcohol. What kind of baby shul is this? Like, no alcohol in the shul. So the guy was going nuts. So the host felt so terrible. So they asked me, is it okay if they take the bottles next door to the neighbor, and they'll set up a separate kiddush table? You know, she goes, they set up a separate kiddush table outside just for the shop. So we'll have the grape juice and everything else on this table. Those who want to go drink their shop this morning should go next door. I said, I can't stop you from going next door. It's not my property. I said, listen, hey, go set up the schnapps next door. So people were running, people were going. Whoever wanted to drink schnapps was going next door. So I pointed out to my kids. I said, do you want to see Avodah Zarah? This is Avodah Zarah. This is it. This is Mamash and Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah means the guy is so overcome with something, he's running, he can't control. He has to go run next door to get a glass of schnapps. He's going home in 10 minutes, he'll have to daven anyway. He'll have his schnapps afterwards to get drunk at lunch. But no, he's got to have an Avodah Zarah, he's got to have his schnapps. See, that's Mamash, that's the Mamash and Avodah Zarah. But a person is addicted, a person has a need, he has a drive, a desire to get something. It's not acceptable. Doesn't fly in what should be the entire world. This whole attitude doesn't apply. This is the beginnings. The Yetzer Hara starts out very, very innocently. So there are a lot of other addictions in today's society. Gambling is an addiction. It's a terrible addiction. You get a little older and you talk to people who've ruined their lives, ruined their marriages, ruined their kids because of gambling. What did it start with? It started with Mishigasim, betting on the Super Bowl betting. It doesn't stop. If you nip problems in the bud, they don't come back to haunt you when you get older. You see, as you get older, you see what I'm talking about is true. So if you just stop the problem before it starts, then it doesn't become a problem. That's the Yaseida Dover of Nidacha starts out very, very little. The Nega Tzaras is tiny. The Nega is the size of a gris. You know how big a gris is? No. A gris is a penny, the size of a penny. You have a little bit of a Nega, a little green spot on the wall. A lot of green spots on the walls in that place. A green spot, a red spot, for whatever it is. And all of a sudden, you have to knock down the whole house. Why? The nonsense of bias. Because tumor spreads. There's a little bit of a mold spread. It means the problem spread. The cancerous cells spread. You have to get rid of them, destroy them before they spread and bring down the entire house. The common denominator of these three mitzvahs. So there's a drash of Kabbalah Schar, not only in terms of teaching us about our approach to the Limud Torah, but there's a drash of Kabbalah Schar in terms of teaching us about the significance of stopping problems in the nipping in the book. But if chait has the ability to stop very, very innocently, it can spread, so then we know that midat tova, the movement of midat peronis, that mitzvahs of Kiddush and Tahara also have a tremendous impact to be able to spread as well. So we mentioned before, why is it that there's no Eni Dachas? Why Lamais is never Eni Dachas? Because there's somebody in town who has a mezuzah. One guy, you talk about a city that's open, that all worshiping idols, but somebody still has a mezuzah. It's interesting, even today, even at Israel today, you go 99% of the time, people have mezuzahs. That's like the last thing to go. Because people think it's a good luck charm, whatever spur is. Somehow looked in a Jew's heart that mezuzah, whatever's going on inside the house, but a mezuzah on the outside, and I'm still, I think it's called Zeicher Korban Pesach. I think because that's like the ultimate ois. Rabban writes, the ultimate ois, I'm still Jewish. No matter what I'm doing inside my house, no matter what I've been desiring, what avers are going on, but I still have that sign, that mark, that Tobias ain't Hudu. It's still considered to be a Jewish home. So if that is no longer there, then Eni Dachas takes over. But if that's still there, there's still one mezuzah left, it could save the entire city. Because if there's one mezuzah, there's one Dovah Shema Kedusha, there's one Shema Yisrael left, that can do wonders for an entire city. And that can do wonders for us as well. So no matter what a person finds himself, no matter where he finds himself in lives, Baruch Hashem, we're not going to be worse than the Obdei Avodah Zarah, the Eni Dachas. Whatever chatoim, whatever things, whatever challenges and nisyonos, and we sometimes fall and fail there, but just hold on. Like that little Shema Yisrael, that little bit of Torah, a little bit of mitzvah, a little spark of Kedusha, each of them, every one of us has in them, has an ability to save us, that is an ability to bring us back, put us back on our feet again. So, yes, it's true that a little bit of chait can bring us down, but the little bit of Kedusha has the ability to bring us right back up again. I think there's a third message, an important message from the Parsha of Eni Dachas, that speaks to each and every one of us, and I think particularly at this time of our lives, particularly towards the end, it's not at the end of summer, I've got 2 weeks left. I said, I always tell them, my kids, if somebody would come and say, you go to Eretz Yisrael for 2 weeks, you'd say, wow, unbelievable, on the first day you'd come, unbelievable, I got 2 whole weeks left in Eretz Yisrael, I'm going to get, make the most of everything. So it's only because we've been ready for a month, so we think at 2 weeks, that's kind of the end, the tail end. So just make believe the first month didn't happen, and make believe today's the first day. Carlo, you'd be so excited, 2 whole weeks to sit and learn, and it's all out of mind. You just have to fake yourself out. Most of life, you have to learn by just faking yourself out. So just tell yourself the following message. People play the worst messages to themselves. You just have to learn how to just turn off the reporter and, put on the right message. So for the next 2 weeks, so we're here, Carlo just started, opening day, Mabish Valdik. But for those of us who are in the mindset that Kol's almost over here, two-thirds are done, so I think the following part is important. So if you look at Parshas Re'eh, so there's one theme that repeats itself throughout the Parsha, and that's the notion of Rechok Mokom, the notion of being distant, of being far away. Almost every mitzvah, in Parshas Re'eh revolves around that phenomena that we are far away from the Mikdash, far away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The whole introduction of Parshas Re'eh is all about what do you do. Up until now, we were all living in the Midbar, we're all hanging around the base of Mikdash, around the Mishkan, so we brought kabanas. Every time you want to have a piece of meat, you go bring a carbon. Now, Nebuch, you're going to be far away, you're going to be living in Be'er Sheva, you're going to be living up in Tzfat, and you're going to be all over the place. Every time you want to have a piece of meat, you're going to go bring a carbon. It's not Shayach. So the Torah gives us the Parashah Shechita, Ki Yirchak M'cha Mokom. So you're far away from your Bashlam, so you have a Mitzvah Shechita. Or, the Torah says a little bit later on, Maisa Sheni. So the real thing to do, the right way to be Mafresh Maisa Sheni, is to separate Maisa Sheni and bring it to Yerushalayim. Every day, every week, you should bring it to Yerushalayim. But Yerchak Mokom, you can't, it's not Shayach, and you schlep barrels of wine from Tel Aviv to Yerushalayim. Come on, it's not Shayach. So the Torah says, all right, but it's not the Kesef, it's not the Kesef Yerchak. You can be the other, so to speak. We paid them. I don't mean this purely in halachic sense. I'm saying that from the simple reading of the psukim, it's like, kind of like an afterthought. Like I'm saying, b'di'evit, if you can't come to Yerushalayim, okay, Nebuch, what can you do? At least we'll let you be paid to the Maaseh Sheni. If you think about the whole mitzvah of Aliyah Rego that appears in the end of Parshas Re'eh, there's also a certain sense of b'di'evit. What should really be? I should be the base mikdash every day. To bring a carbon talmud for you every day. The Gemara says, in theory, every Jew should be in the base mikdash every single day to come on us. You should have an Aliyah Rego daily. Not Shayach, I'm going to work. I live in Be'er Sheva, I live in Ashdod, I can't come every day to Yerushalayim. So the Torah says, okay, you know what? At least 3 times a year. Please, Shalosh Rival and Shalosh Ram Bashana, make your business to come to the base of Mikdash. So the Torah, Kahina V'Kahina, speaks about the reality kicks in that sometimes you're far away from the source of Kedusha. What do you do? So you have to make ways, you have to find ways, in a sense, kunstim, ways to reconnect to the source of Kedusha. So the Torah says, okay, you can't bring a carbon. But at least shecht the kedusha of tahara, rakas adam lo sochel. You know, don't do whatever you can in a sense to mimic the Beis Hamikdash. You can't do the real makoy. You can't mamish come to the Beis Hamikdash. But at least when you shecht me, you don't just shoot the animal. You shecht kedasu chaderis kedusha of tahara. You can't bring my sashayim to Shalayim. Okay, you play it, put the coins aside. When you get a chance, come and bring it. You can't come to the Beis Hamikdash every day. At least touch 3 times a year. Make your business to come to the Beis Hamikdash. Kahena v'kahena, the Torah speaks about what do you do when you live in a situation geographic of Rechet Makom. But the Torah also tells us that reality kicks in. When you live in Rechet Makom, there's a tremendous danger. And the tremendous danger of Rechet Makom is in fact the parasha of Yerinachas. The Torah says that Shemat v'achat she'arecha, all of a sudden you hear messages with the Rash, you hear the words that 100 miles away there was near Nidachas. There can't be near Nidachas when everyone's in the Mishkan. Everyone's living around the base of the Nidachas. Near Nidachas only can begin to take place when people feel that Rechak Mochel, there's a distance from the base of Nik, there's a distance from the source of Kedusha. Then only then can all the evils, the ills of Avodah Zarah begin to creep in. And all the parashas from A that revolve around the Avodah Zarah, about the Mesis of Mediach, and then Rabbi Sheker, everyone who's coming to take you away from Avodah Zarah, take you away from the Baruch Shalom, bring you to Avodah Zarah, can only begin to work in a society that's far away from the Beis Hamikdash. If your mamash l'fnei Hashem, the whole time, yeah, Avodah Zarah. I'm standing in front of the Beis, in Yom Kippur, and a guy taps me on the shoulder and says, come on, let's go. Let's be over to Avodah Zarah. I'm talking to the Baruch Shalom, and you're telling me, you're crazy. But if I'm somewhere down far, far, far away, I'm 100 miles away, and I haven't been to the Beis Hamikdash in 6 months, and I haven't seen the Sanhedrin functioning in 6 months, and I forgot what it's like, and now a guy taps me and says, oh, by the way, I got some great new idols, some new fed, that's anyone, let's go bow down to these idols together. It's great, Kavaldik. So I make to him, not so bad. You guys got a point. The Rechak Makom is the prerequisite for all the tzaras, all the problems that creep in. The parasha is very depressing parasha. All the things that go wrong, but they all go wrong because of Rechak Makom. When we speak about Rechak Makom and Kiruv Makom, so we can speak about it in one of two ways. A brisket Torah, two kinds of Rechak, two kinds of Kiruv. There's Rechak Makom and Kiruv Makom geographically. In Beis Hamikdash, no question about it. And even though we don't have a Beis Hamikdash today, but we have Kedushas Makom, Kedushas Yerushalayim, Kedushas Yisrael. So there's a tremendous feeling, a sense of closeness to Kedush Baruch Hu. There's a sit in Beit Meir, sitting in Eretz Yisrael, walk the streets of Yerushalayim. It's tremendous, tremendous Kibbutz Elikim. No question about it. Unbelievable Kibbutz Elikim. And we should never, ever, ever take that for granted. It's lo yuman. It's beautiful. It's something that we have to constantly be mechazik ourselves. But as chus it is to be able to manage just to walk the streets of Eretz Yisrael, just sitting in Eretz Yisrael, just the geographic, it's an unbelievable, beautiful thing. Kiruv Makom is a tremendous, tremendous thing. I was just reading the other day, there was an article in Mishpacha, I showed you, that some rav was writing about how, what a terrible thing it is, that people are afraid today to, he's talking more now in our world, more in the Mishpacha world, in the other world. He said, people are afraid to say how beautiful Eretz Yisrael is. People are afraid to say how great Eretz Yisrael is. People are afraid to speak about Kedushas Haaretz because they're afraid people are going to brand them as being Zionists. And they don't want to say anything, it's too nice for Eretz Yisrael. So he said, what Elam HaFachani Raya? He said, Kedushas Eretz Yisrael is an integral part of the Torah. What do we do with politics? What do we do with Zionism? What do we do with anything? Just the fact that in the Makom Hashem, Tamid Ein Hashem L'kech Abba, how did you read that pasuk? I heard that pasuk this past week. I started to tear. The Bakari said, "Tomid Ein Hashem Lakech Abam Reish Hashana." Means your Rebbeinu Shalom Shechina is so much more powerful in Eretz Yisrael. You walked around Eretz Yisrael. What a gevaldik thing! But not all of us are going to be zeichah in Eretz Yisrael in the next couple of weeks. Oh, halavai, Mashiach will come, but we'll be here. But some of us, Mitzvah Hashem, are going to be spending the year in Eretz Yisrael, and many of us are going to go back. So go back, leave Eretz Yisrael. So there's a tremendous Rechak Makom, there's a tremendous feeling of a sense of, you know, kind of far away from our spiritual source, and, you know, somehow our standards and Avodas Hashem and Kedusha V'Tahara that may have existed while we're here with Hashem, you know, may get watered down a little bit. We find ourselves 6,000 miles away, and somebody may tap us on the shoulder and say, hey, would you like to join me for da-da-da-dum? I'm not going to say what the da-da-da-dum Zohar, but it may not be a tap on the shoulder, maybe a click on a mouse, I don't know, whatever it is. A lot of things out there. And when a person is not lifnei Hashem, he has to be special on guard. When there's Rechak Makom, a person has to be extra on guard against those things which are potentially going to bring you further away from Kedush Baruch Hu. But there's another Rechak Makom and Kiruv Makom. I think it's very, very critical. And that's the Lashon Rambam, the end of Hilchos Tshuva. The Rambam describes the process of Tshuva. One of the most powerful Rambams in Hilchos Tshuva. The Rambam describes the difference between a person Kedim, Shechazah B'Tshuva, in contrast to Le'acha Shechaz B'tshuva. So before a person's Chaz B'tshuva, so the Rambam writes, he's Rachok Me'Hashem. He's far away from Ribbono Shel Olam. And how does that distance express itself? So he davens, and somehow he feels the davening is going up in smoke. He does mitzvahs, and he feels that the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't really want his mitzvahs. And he has that, we've all been at that point, you know, that yush, that feeling like I'm just going through the motions, like there's no connection, there's no relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Rambam says that's the terrible, terrible power of chet, that it creates a distance, a barrier between us and the Ribbono Shel Olam. It says the Rambam, it's such unbelievable good news. You can get rid of that barrier in a second, a split second, that barrier can disappear. Kaven Shechaz Adi B'tshuva, says the Rambam, it's a whole different world. He used to be Rachaik, says the Rambam, now he's Karov. It used to be that his mitzvahs he felt were not being accepted. Now, not only are they being accepted, but the Ribbono Shel Olam wants them, desires his Torah and the mitzvahs and his tefillahs. The Ribbono Shel Olam, you could feel it. You could feel it, the chush. Everyone's felt that at one point in their lives, that the Ribbono Shel Olam is kind of beckoning to you, it's holding, it's calling out to you. There's a tremendous feeling of kirvas elikim. When a person is in that feeling of kirvas elikim, that spiritual kirvas makom, there's very, very little place for chayt. There's no limit. If a person's really, really, really so close to Ribbono Shel Olam, so close, constantly, constantly to Ribbono Shel Olam, his whole mind, his player in Dixi Kedusha, chayt doesn't even, it's not even on the radar screen. Let's just say for a Chaim, you know, there are different sheikhs in Europe without learning Musa about, you know, should we have Musa in the sheikh? It's not a Musa in the sheikh, but again, not for now. So Chaim used to say that if a person is mamish kulo, and holding in a Rambam, that's all he does all day, is learning this Rambam, right? But he says, for such a person, in fact, it doesn't need Musa. Maybe a person is not totally holding them means Musa, but if a person is kulo, yarn v'layla, and even a Torah, you don't need anything. That's the greatest Musa. That'll be the greatest. So we're not holding by that. Oh, why are we holding like that? Then we can discuss the machlokes in Europe. But for most of us, we're not holding that. So we need some Musa and Chizuk and Cyrus and Yerushalayim. We have to talk about all those things. But the person standing in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam, yarn v'layla, so then, v'shneitz achet, not going to be able to enter. Not even in the ballpark, he's so karo. Our problem is that we're not always so calm. Our problem is that not only are we geographically leaving Eretz Yisrael, but many of us are going back to situations where our amount of time involved in Limud HaTorah is going to be minimized. And again, maybe rightfully so, or whatever the case are, you know, we're not judging, justified. That's not a discussion. It's not a pitch for where a person should be doing and learning the reality. It's just a reality check. Myself included, said I go back to America in a couple of weeks, a lot of other things flying around, all the stuff that I ignore when I'm here. A lot of things, Baruch Hashem, a lot of them are justifying, a lot of them are Melech HaShemayim, they're great. But the ability of a person to sit and to be able to have that kiruv makom, be able to feel close to the Ribbono Shel Olam, that's the ultimate barrier against faith. That's the ultimate way for a person to protect himself. And one has to always be on guard. And everyone leaves the Amos of the Beis Medrash, leaves the Kais of the Beis Medrash. So one has to be extra skilled. It doesn't mean you can't survive outside the Beis Medrash. The Torah says that there's a parish of Shechita, you don't shech in the Beis Hamikdash. Shech in the Beis Hamikdash, that's full of Shechita, it's possible. So there's a whole parish of Shechita outside the Beis Hamikdash. And there's a parish of Pidyon HaSheni outside the Mishalayim. There are dinim. The Torah gives us the ways to be able to function even in a state of Richak Mokal. You have to be aware when there's Richak Mokom, so you have to be aware of the dangers of Richak Mokom, and you have to be aware of the tekonis of Richak Mokom, how to connect the Kedusha. So the same way that the Torah says that the person who finds himself geographically distanced got to come back. You got to come to the Maaseh Sheni once in a while. You've got to come to the Rebbe. Don't think you can walk away forever. So too, a person has to find ways to reconnect to Torah Kedusha. Reconnect to the Kiruv Mokom of Eretz Yisrael, reconnect to the Kiruv Mokom of Yerushalayim, reconnect to the Kiruv Mokom of Torah Kedusha. So no matter where a person finds themselves in the next couple of weeks, the next couple of months, so don't forget, this is your real home. This is it. The Talad, Amish Allah, and the Kais of the Sinedrish, sitting in Eretz Yisrael, because you're tired. This is the real thing that we have to figure out about how to finagle when we're on the outside. Just to close, remember when I was learning in Kirby Afna, so years ago, I had gone back for another year, and I came back, I went back to America for Sukkot. So I just spent the last 40 days in Kirby Avna for Shkosh Elf, Yom Kippur, the Kedusha, Tarek, the top of the world. And we came back, flew back to America the next day, and we landed at in JFK, and there was some guy, I don't know, one of the customs guys, on the Border Patrol, these guys were pre Homeland Security days. So I remember the guys, there were a lot of Shira Bachim, were going back for Sukkot. So, you know, he was real, you know, this guy's 6'8", you know, these big guys. So he sees a bunch of Shiva Bachim, you know, kind of schlepping off the plane, you know. So he says, Welcome, fellas. Welcome back to the real world. That's what he said. So I think myself, Hashem Yerachim. I said, we just finished Yom HaKippurim, Yom HaKadosh, and Karen Biavda for 40 days from Rosh Chodesh Elul, Tayyar, and Kedusha, and Tefillah. And this guy is walking around, you know, checking passports, and telling me, and checking, and confiscating oranges. He says, that's the real world. He said, that's the real world. He's Shem Shemayim, the real world. This is the real world. So if I say, welcome back to the real world. Yom Netashem, two good solid weeks. Today's the first day of Kolo. Two good solid weeks to stay, get all the Kedusha retire from the real world, and hopefully the real world, or those who are staying in the real world for afterwards, Matzah, Hashreichem, those who, for whatever reason, have to take a foot out of the real world for a little while. So keep in touch, and keep the Kirav Makom, and try to find yourselves back to the real world.
Next part of the training.